Oh hey, this is Emily.
I'm Rachel.
From the Gap Year Diaries podcast.
The podcast where we, two best friends, relive our gap year travelling the world 12 years ago by rereading the hilariously misguided blog diary we kept along the way.
We've joined forces with undeniable titans of travel, Hostelworld, to bring you some epic, ridiculous and downright incredible stories from their community of travelling hostelers.
Welcome to Gap Year Diaries Hostelworld, your stories podcast. Oh, hey, we're your hosts, Emily and Rachel, apologies in advance, and across these six very special episodes, we'll be welcoming a veritable smorgasbord of fellow travellers to chat with us, sharing their stories of worldwide exploration and hostel adventures from a variety of perspectives.
But first, if you want to find out more about us, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook and TikTok at Gap Year Diaries Podcast. And indeed, you can follow Hostelworld on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest and of course TikTok on at Hostelworld.
Right, guys, in this episode, we're going to be chatting to two love-struck travellers.
Yeah.
Feels
so good.
Ooh. About their fleeting romances, flirty dates, and hookups from their time on the road. Ooh!
Yeah, it was an eye-opening experience in myriad ways, to be honest. We first spoke to Andy Uncheta Pereira, who seems to have spent her young life mainly being wooed by handsome strangers against the backdrop of some of the world's most romantic cities. Real relatable stuff.
Yeah. And then we hear a slightly different take on travel romance from James Rowbottom, a fellow podcaster and travel enthusiast who told us about his dating life on the road.
There's a lot to unpack in this episode. Rach, what was your most romantic experience while travelling?
Well, back in 2010, there was this lovely young man called Sam. And Sam took me on a date in New Zealand underneath a moonlit sky. And he bought me a little paper rose and took me out for a three-course meal, which was just blew my mind as we had no money to our names. And it was just so sweet and romantic. And I'm pretty sure I still have that rose somewhere now, dying in the back of a wardrobe.
How lovely. Dying in the back of a wardrobe. One guy once asked me for a quickie in the laundry room of a hostel.
Oh my God.
So similar
beautiful
vibes. Beautiful. Anyway, let's stop dwelling on that and hear from our first guest, Andy.
Yeah, let's go. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Andy.
Hey.
How are you?
Yeah.
We're good.
We're well. We're here.
We're absolutely well. We recorded last week during the 40 degree, the famous UK 40 degree temperatures, and it was a sticky affair.
It was super hot. So uncomfortable. Real nice. I couldn't even do. Where are you right now?
Yeah, so I'm in my house in Madrid, in Spain. Which has been really, really hot as well. Very sticky.
Yeah, for sure.
Been struggling.
Lovely though to be in Madrid.
Yeah, not the same as England.
No, not quite.
No, 40 degrees in Madrid is not like 40 degrees in England, I don't think, because in England we have no idea what we're doing.
Well, no, we're kind of used to it here, that's right.
So let's kick us off with the first question. Would you just be able to start by telling us and our listeners a little bit about your travel life?
Okay, so I'm actually 19, so I haven't had that much time to travel. So I'm currently finishing my gap year.
Cool.
And I first went to, it's been amazing, really. So definitely recommend that to anyone listening. So yes, I started this year going to Paris as an au pair. And that was my biggest trip and my first one as well, alone. I was there for a solid 3 months. It was a weird ending to the trip, honestly, but it was around 3 months. So I was there for a while. Then I came back. And I just started working to save up some money. And then I went to Italy for a week.
Oh, lovely.
And I met great people. It was such a lovely, lovely trip. And then I'm planning another one next month to Portugal. And that's basically it. I haven't really moved a lot.
I was going to say, Andy, that so since you're 19, that was the same age Emily and I went travelling. Well, I was 18, Emily was 19 when we went away together. So yeah, we hadn't been to too many places before that time anyway. So I definitely don't think you should put yourself down by saying, oh, I haven't been to too many, because it's what you make of it.
Well, what I was going to ask is, how was it going to a destination? Like, considering you hadn't done a lot of travelling before, what was it like sort of going to a destination when you went to Paris and knowing that you were planning to sort of stay there for a significant period of time? Did it feel a bit daunting or was it exciting or probably a mix of the two, I imagine?
Yeah, kind of both. So I was very excited, but then it kind of... got all messed up when I arrived, because my host family was definitely a bad match for me. So yeah, it was just such a short, really, because I was planning on being there for like 9 to 12 months. Wow. But then it was just 3. So to me, it didn't really feel that like such a long time, because I was just like starting. So yeah, but definitely before getting there, I was excited. I was really, really excited.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel like you had enough time to get to know Paris or experience what it was like to live there, or was it all just a bit of a blur?
No, it was great. I met a lot of other au pairs and we were saying the same things all of the time, that we lived there. So we didn't have to rush to like see everything in 2 days, or I don't know, just like see the whole Louvre Museum in like one sitting. We could just chill and see everything at our own pace, which was such a great experience. And then I really got to see other places of Paris that you may not know if you just visit for a week or even less. So I really like that, because you're a lot slower. So it's nicer.
So Andy, how did you find it, like meeting people in a place whilst working full time? Because it wasn't so much like you had the time to go and do whatever you want because you were working as an au pair. So how did you manage to balance that, meeting new people whilst working full time?
Yeah, so that was actually really easy, because the au pair community is so big. And in Paris, I felt like there were au pairs everywhere. So it was really easy because, for example, I was working during the afternoons, but during the mornings, I went to French classes. And there I met a lot of au pairs, but also Facebook groups, which sounds like really, I don't know, not magical. But there are so many Facebook groups that you can just join, and they say, hey, do you want to hang out in this park and this time? And you end up making your own groups, I guess. But yeah, I'd say the French course and the Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, learning languages is such a good tip to like meet new people, because you're always going to find people there that are kind of in the same sort of stage of being in a place as you, because I suppose you probably wouldn't necessarily bother going to a language class if you were just sort of transiently passing through a destination. But if you're kind of there for a significant amount of time, that's a really good tip. And did you find like the social life there was quite lively? Was there, you know, you had more than enough to do,
out in
I
the
imagine?
Town.
Yeah, it was plenty of things to do. I actually started going out, like really going out there, because before that I was a minor, and then I turned 18 when it was like the whole COVID lockdown.
Of course, yeah.
So I didn't really have the chance. I missed out on so many things here. Then I went to Paris and I just kind of exploded in like the best way possible. But yeah, it was a little explosion for me of like going places, meeting people, and then going out. So definitely a lot of bar action, nightlife. I didn't really go to nightclubs, because I just, not my thing at the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of people on the streets, just like drinking, hanging out. It was really, really good. And it was September, October, so it was cold, but still nobody cared. It was amazing.
Oh, that's pretty good to know, actually.
Oh, that sounds super fun.
Yeah.
So do you think the community of meeting other people and meeting other au pairs and things was sort of the highlight of the trip? That was what made it for you?
It was definitely one of the best parts because, as I said, my host family could have been something great. So I definitely, definitely loved having like good friends there. It was very, very important.
So Paris is famously the city of love. And did you have any holiday romances, some tender moments?
yeah, I did. I had two really good dating experiences, I'd say.
Ooh.
The first one is, I've told it so many times because it's just so surreal. I don't even believe it anymore. So, I met this guy on the metro. I was reading and he just approached me and said like, oh, you look so interesting reading a book on the metro. I was like, yeah, I know. But then,
that's why I'm doing it.
So he just approached me really casually. As one does, I guess, in Paris, because it hasn't happened here back home. But this guy just approached me. We began talking and then exchanged our Instagrams. So we didn't really talk. And then out of nowhere, he just says, hey, do you want to hang out? Do you want to meet? And I was like, yeah, sure. But then we couldn't really find a moment to do so. Because when I was working, he was doing whatever else thing, and it was just complicated. So then I just said, okay, so I have this Friday night free, so if you want, we can go and have a drink or something. And he was like, yeah, sure, you can actually come over to my house, which sounded a bit...
forward?
Yeah.
But I just went for it, so... He gave me his address, and it was on, no names today. I don't remember any name. But it was one of the, he lived in the one of the most expensive neighborhoods in Paris.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's just like, okay, what was this guy doing on the metro? No idea. So I just went to his house, and he's like, you go to the last floor, because my... apartment is on the attic. So I was like, okay, attic, great. So I just went there, we were talking, it was great. I just met this guy 2 days ago on the metro. Could have been a total weirdo, but we just I don't know, it was great. The conversation, the chemistry, everything was fabulous. Aww. And then he just said like, hey, do you want to go out to my he had this balcony, to my balcony, so because I want to show you something. And then we went out, and the Eiffel Tower was just there.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah. And that was my reaction. And then he just gave me the best kiss of my life.
I'm 100% oh my gosh.
That. French kissing that guy knew. Like, now I understand why it's called French kissing.
That's brilliant.
The best thing, yeah. And then I never saw him again.
You didn't need to.
I went in, I had the best kiss of my life, and then I just said, okay, that's done. For no reason in particular, we just couldn't really meet again, and then I had to go back home, so... It was short.
That is the sweet. It's the most Paris thing I've ever heard in my life. That sequence of events.
That's absolutely beautiful. Oh, I want that to happen now.
And did you? And did you try? Like, did you sort of actively try and date while you were out there, or did these men just sort of fall in your lap on the metro?
So I found that I didn't really try to date. But this is going to sound so annoying, But it's just that men approached me on the street.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a French thing. Because I talked to my host mom about it, and she was like, yeah, no, French guys are so, like, active in that way, and they are so confident. So, yeah, guys just came to me like, oh, you're so pretty, your eyes, where are you from? And then it happened, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Were there any lasting romances, or all just, like, fleeting?
There was one kind of lasting romance with this guy that he approached me on the street, like, same scenario.
Well, you weren't reading a book as you were walking along the street as well.
I wasn't that time. I can't even remember. I think I was sitting on a bench in a park or something like that. So yeah, we just exchanged Instagrams, then we started talking, and this time he was like, okay, let me take you on a date. He was a nice guy. And we were talking about playing pool for some reason, and I told him that I had never played. So he's like, okay, I have to teach you. The problem is, he spoke no Spanish, and his English was even worse than my French.
Oh no.
So yeah, I was waiting for him to pick me up, so nervous, because I thought we wouldn't talk at all for the whole date. And then he just picked me up. He was so good looking. Like, then the conversation was really awkward because it was me, like, staring at him thinking, how can a man be this gorgeous? And then he trying to find the words to tell me, I don't know what. But we made it through the date, and it was really, really fun. He taught me how to play pool. He took me to dinner, and then we went to like, take a walk. On the Seine, like on the riverbank.
Mm-hmm.
Every dating story in Paris sounds like a movie, honestly. But yeah, it was really,
it's not just like going to McDonald's, is it?
Yeah, so it was a really, really good first date. And then we just kept like seeing each other, and it grew more. It grew, I guess. And then we were talking all the time in French, because I had to learn French. He helped me a lot with that. And then he started talking about learning Spanish to come and like be with me in Spain.
Wow.
So yeah, it was pretty intense by the time we broke up, because I just didn't want to do long distance. So that's actually where we ended things, because I had to go back home, and I wasn't into the whole long distance thing.
Yeah,
but it was really good there, and it lasted for, I don't know, a month and a half.
Well, what I've learned from this is, if you just go to Paris, men will just
That's true. That's true. You want a boyfriend, a French boyfriend.
Maybe not on me.
You just have to go to Paris.
Go to Paris, and that'll sort you right out. So after you were in Paris, you went to Italy. Whereabouts in Italy did you go?
So I went to Milan, and I stayed there a couple of nights. And then I went to Lake Como for just one night, which was a crazy one. Yeah, it was so, so pretty. And I spent the rest of my week in Cinque Terre,
mm-hmm.
in the beautiful coast. That was the best part of the trip. I would have stayed there for months.
Yeah.
It was great.
Sort of world famously beautiful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay, Rachel?
Yeah, so I was just sort of like, you've just transported me mentally to that place, and I'm just like, oh wow, just waking up in the morning.
Rachel just glazed over.
Just sounds absolutely stunning. Was there any romances in Italy as well as France? Be interesting to compare the two.
Yeah, so I was staying at this hostel in Cinque Terre. We were going to watch the sunset on Manarola, which is one of the five little towns in Cinque Terre. And it was going to be a couple of friends and me. But then this guy kind of like tagged along. And we were just sitting there watching the sunset. And this guy was so cool. Like, I swear, he was just, you know, people you meet, you think, like, you're so cool, I want to be your friend. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he was one of those people. And then when it was, like, the sunset was over, he just told me, like, hey, do you want to go swim and, like, jump from that rock? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Oh, my God,
it's like the beach.
Yeah, so we just did that. And again, my head was like, this guy is so cool. I love this guy. So I was developing this crush on him as the night was going. So after that, we went back to the hostel. We had some dinner. Well, we wanted to get dinner there. But then it was like 12 p.m. already, so everything was closed. Mm. We just ordered some pizza. Takeaway pizza. We sat on this fountain and we ate like the pizza on the floor, and then we had some wine.
Oh,
and
God.
I don't know what happened, but it ended up being just the two of us, this guy and me. So we were talking, we were like really talking. Again, I don't know why, but conversation is such a good way to like get me to like someone, I guess. So we were talking for a long, long time. I guess it was like 3 a.m. When I just said, hey, maybe we should get back to the hostel because I am falling asleep on the floor. So, and it was kind of cold as well. So I was just like, I want to go to sleep. And so he just like cuddled up to me and then started looking at me like a flirty way, and I was like, I know where you're going. I know. And then we just but it was out of nowhere because I had this crush, but again, it just happened, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, just felt right.
Another great kiss.
Wow.
But yeah, that was it.
Oh my gosh.
Your life is just a series of going to romantic European destinations and having insanely cinematic romantic experiences. Yeah, I can totally relate.
Oh my God.
You're like collecting kisses instead of stamps on your passport.
I do love like kisses in general as a concept. So it makes sense.
Yeah, and if you could have any backdrop, it would be Paris.
Yeah, definitely.
Aww. Those are such lovely love stories.
Yeah, they really are. They're so beautiful, so wholesome.
So to kind of draw a lovely line under this romantic reverie that's been this episode, where do you think you would like to go next? Where are you going to go next for your insanely romantic adventures?
So I'm not planning on dating.
Well, sure, but it just seems to happen.
So my next trip is this 2-week backpacking trip to Portugal, and I'll be going with a friend for the first half, and then I'll be on my own. Mm-hmm. That's the next one.
That's your next thing on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Emily, is there anything else? This has been such a lovely episode.
That has been a lovely chat.
So Andy, thank you so much for coming on today. We've really enjoyed having you, and yeah, just thank you for sharing your love stories with Emily and I and our listeners.
Yeah, they've really set a benchmark for European traveling for me.
Oh my gosh.
I won't accept anything other than a kiss on a balcony in front of the Eiffel Tower.
No, that was lit up at night. Was dreamy, yeah.
Oh my God.
That was gold. That was God tier. Oh, perfect.
Oh, but thank you very much, Andy.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was so good.
No problem.
Bye.
Andy's stories were just so beautiful and romantic. I couldn't believe she was whisked to a penthouse flat with a close-up view of the lovely Eiffel Tower. And that kiss.
Oh, I know.
Give me some of that sugar.
You want to get involved? I mean, Rach, I don't want to brag, but I was once taken to a McDonald's drive-thru on a date by an Australian guy I met in a hostel. So, you know.
What was his name again?
His name was Tozza. actually. Yeah, of course. Quite Jane Austen. That was the night I almost became Mrs. Tozer.
Sir Tozer Frost.
Sir Tozer Frost. Yes, that's the name I would have taken had we wed. Anyway, if you'd like to hear more about Andy's hopelessly romantic life, you can find her on Instagram at Andy Uncheta Pereira.
Yeah, she's right there. But very much time for our second guest, James. Hello.
Hello, James.
Hello.
Hey, James.
Hello, friends.
How are you doing, James?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm sat in my flat in East London, and it's very hot here. Heat rises. It's not quite the penthouse, house, but it's the top floor flat.
Oh, wow. That was a very circuitous way to brag, but okay, we'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you see me kind of wafting my t-shirt to get more air to my large belly, then don't be put off. It's quite a normal ritual for me.
James, how about you tell us a little bit about any kind of travel experiences that you've had, where you've been, any places you would like to venture to?
Sure. I have travelled pretty extensively around France. I studied French at university, and I lived there twice in Paris before and during my uni years. And also my family moved there about 8 or 9 years ago. So I've travelled a bit around that part of West France. And I've also done quite a few kind of Central and Eastern European big cities and capitals. I've been to America a couple of times, and I've been to, most recently before the pandemic, was actually the last time I, was that the last time I left the country? Holy cow. Is that the case? Surely not.
It's very on-brand.
Since the pandemic, I've been to Malta. but before the pandemic, the last place I went to was Tennessee, which was amazing.
Did you do a road trip in the USA?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, we stopped off at a few different places. We spent 5 days in... 5 days? That doesn't sound right. No one cares about that level of detail, though, so... Sure, 5 days in,
let's say
in
5 days.
Nashville.
For illustrative purposes.
It's 5 days. We all agree it's 5 days.
Nobody can prove otherwise.
No one's going to check. There's no fact checker on how many days it's been. And then we went to Memphis, and then kind of did all the Civil Rights Museum and learned about blues music and saw... like real blues music in Beale Street, which was amazing. And went back to Nashville to go to Graceland.
How was that?
It was not as ostentatious as you would expect for one of the biggest superstars ever. That's what was really quite... I mean, it was in a way, but it was in terms of like the size of the house, you would expect something a lot bigger and a lot kind of... But it looked from the outside like a kind of very beautiful, but not... absolutely out of control, large kind of family southern home. And then on the inside is where it got real kooky. And it's just like a kind of mad fever dream of an interiors magazine.
That's a really good way to describe it.
Is it quite like Liberace?
Yeah, it's high camp. It's high right. camp. There's right. a completely yeah. white room with stained glass and a grand piano.
I mean, who doesn't have one of those?
Yes. In fact, just if you just take a step over here to the side,
you're in that room now, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Podcasting on top of the piano.
I just do a kind of like Tony Bennett's accompaniment thing where I lay across the piano and go, "This one's for you, baby."
Has your time on the road begat any travel romances or
tender moments?
Or tender moments?
Oh my god, tender moments! I have had some travel romance. In fact, the second time I lived in Paris, which was during my during my year abroad. I was actually freshly dumped on Valentine's Day when I moved to Paris.
Oh, no. James!
In Paris. God. In
Yeah. Dumped in Paris on Valentine's Day.
Oh, geez.
That's correct, yeah. So, yeah, I was dumped. I wasn't actually dumped in Paris. I was dumped via Skype in Paris. So I just moved back. But, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, young ladies. I my romances on my travels have been definitely fleeting. I am what they call in the trade a young queer. there is a genuine thing here. There's a bit of a misapprehension, but there's a kind of characterization of Grindr as an app that's exclusively for hookups. But when you're traveling, Grindr's actually a genuinely quite a good way of meeting people that you know aren't going to be bigots.
which is of course the goal for us all.
that is the goal. It's a nice kind of filter. Like, for example, when I was in Tennessee, you know, I had some chats with some local people and asked them about where I should go, and that was a pretty good way of me knowing for sure that I wasn't going to go to somewhere where I was going to get gay bashed.
Yeah.
That's quite nice, I think, as a filter. But yeah, no, I think I was very, living in Paris, I was very swept up in the romance of the city in general, because it is, like, as much as you can try and deny it, it definitely has that feeling to it, all of the kind of, like, gaslit, not gaslit, I mean, I did that later.
All of the gaslighting.
So romantic. Gaslighting. James by Gaslight, that's the novel.
It was a beautiful gaslit meal.
She told me I was mental.
As the candle flickered.
Oh, yes, it's a gorgeous gaslit meal. A gay Paris. My self-confidence fondue like the cheese in front of me.
God.
Yeah, no, I was definitely very kind of bought into the idea that Paris is where you should fall in love, which is why some of my failed dates in Paris were made deeply ironic.
What was there, like, a common thread in how the dates went wrong, or was it just a sort of series of mishaps, a series of unfortunate events?
Well, of course, there is the old barrière de langue.
Of course,
the language bien sûr. Barrier. Yes, sure. I mean, I do speak French, but I do think that there's an element of, I mean, to be honest, most of the people I met, they were so boring talking about, you know, do you like tea? those kinds of chat that we never really got past
really?
That a lot of the time. Yeah, genuinely.
That's dry.
Genuinely.
That's what Grindr served up to you.
Not Grindr. No, Grindr. Oh. Actually, you said... No, I meant more just generally people flirting. They'd be like, oh, you're from England. I was like, oh, yes, I'm from England.
Did they ask you to say the word Harry Potter?
the short answer is no, but the long answer is no, but. When I was in Tennessee,
no.
I did see somebody in a bar that I thought was very alluring, very,
sure.
Very attractive.
I find you very attractive.
I found you very attractive, and honestly, we couldn't get past the chat about, like, oh, my friend's from Glasgow. my friend's from Glasgow. Have you met him? I'm like, no, I live in London. It's literally hundreds of miles away.
Oh God.
Oh, and also, dear, I don't think my kind of, like, East London sensibilities went down particularly well with, like, southern women
some
who
bells.
Were, you know, they have they're southern males who are like generally like people with a, you know, a bit more of a traditional. I mean, I'm generalizing, of course, but yeah, I think maybe I was not exactly, you know, some pierced maniac was not quite what they were hoping for. Maybe someone with a bit of decorum and class.
Oh dear. So the dates didn't go well because other people were boring.
I mean, look, I'm not really big into bragging about myself, but I think I'm a lot of fun on a date. I bring the party, I bring a lot of energy. I do care about people quite a lot, even people I've just met. So I try and invest emotionally, but I think French people weren't madly keen on British people in general. They were so genuinely surprised I bothered to learn their language. It was quite difficult to get past that. but yeah, it was a bit thin on the ground, the romance in Paris. But yeah, I've had a couple of little frissons. I also once met I was in the south of France and I met a French woman who after one night said she didn't want to kiss me because she thought that would be too much commitment. And she was worried about.
Oh my god!
she was worried. She was worried about falling in love. And I was like, "Honey, I'm here for the night only. So,
oh, one night only.
So step right up, because
these lips are on their way out. Catch them while you can.
I mean, I suppose maybe that's a bit of a difference in attitudes. I did actually have my first gay experience in Paris. That's a true story.
Tell us.
Very first, as a young bisexual man, I hadn't actually done the whole experience before. This is nice. I hope my family are listening. And I went
they
to. They definitely won't be. I went to the gay area in Paris, which is called the Marais, which is kind of a bit like. For Londoners, it's a bit like Soho, but also mm-hmm. has a bit of a kind of posher kind of bent, if you pardon the pun. So it's kind of like posh Soho, basically. Okay. And I met somebody there who was an American man. An American! Imagine the thing!
American fella.
Oh, hey there, sir. So I came up to him and I said, hey, come on, man. and I have to say, I wasn't massively confident, but I was wearing a trench coat, which is about as confident
as you
get in Paris.
That's going to give you a little lift, isn't it? If nothing else.
Yeah, I dressed very formally in France because I think I felt like a bit of an outsider. and so I kind of wanted to at least be well turned out. It was almost like a mark of respect to the country because I knew I was a foreigner. So I was like, at least I'm going to dress nicely, put on my Sunday best for you.
Put my best foot forward.
And, so I did that whole thing, and I'm very embarrassed to admit it, but there was only three working legs on my bed the following day.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Rachel.
Call me Mr. Flintstone because I can make your bed rock.
I just loved watching that comprehension dawn on Rachel's face so beautifully, like the sunrise. Rachel, like...
Was it the trench coat, James? Was it the...
That broke the bed? I don't think so.
It was pretty weighty.
It was a leaden trench coat.
It was made of chainmail.
Like Hagrid's with all his stuff in it.
Yeah, that guy sidled up to me, he went, "You're right there, James." And I was like, "Oh, hi, Hagrid."
You want to break my bed?
You want to break my bed there? Norbert, come in here. We're going to break the bed. I think the trench coat sold it. Yeah. I felt like a kind of a debutante. I felt like very kind of coquettish. Like, ooh, little old me.
trench coat.
And the only thing that makes it a bit tricky is as in true kind of like traveling abroad for the first time style, I didn't have a door.
Right, okay.
So my flatmate
didn't have two doors to rub together.
Absolutely. So, yeah, the reason why I mentioned it is because my flatmate, who I moved with, had a bit more of an intimate understanding as me as a human being than she was perhaps ready for. You know, the rhythm of the rhythm of the beat of the night. You know what I'm referring to here. So the sounds, and not smells, sounds of two young lads in a tryst.
The smells wafted through the where the door should be.
Oh god. Yeah, oh, god. So there you go.
So that was your first gay experience.
Yes, yeah, in gay parry of all places.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And how did you leave things with the bed breaking fella?
We became friends on Facebook, which is what was the done thing at the time, which ages me. We stayed kind of vaguely in touch with a few Facebook likes here and there, a couple of flirtatious comments. And then obviously, you know, we were thousands of miles apart. So save for me going to Michigan anytime soon, I think that's the beginning and end of it.
Right. You don't fancy a trip to Mish?
Well, it's a bit of a Mish, isn't it?
It's a Mish, but you know. You didn't never know what you're missing.
For God's sake. Oh, God, yeah, that's true.
Fair enough.
That's true.
Yeah. James, if you could go anywhere in the world to have a romantic experience, a romantic encounter, or even just, you know, like a bog standard date, where would you go?
Do you know what? So many thoughts just went through my head at once. It was unbelievable. It was like the perfect embodiment of ADHD. My thought track just then. I was like, my exact thought track. Let me run you through it.
Oh my god!
The exact thought track in my head was, okay, I want to go somewhere hot. Somewhere hot is nice because then you can like have the whole like by the beach, like watching the sunset. Then I thought, no, because then I'd have to wear too many clothes and I hate my body, so I don't want to do that. And I want to go somewhere really where I can be well and truly wrapped up. And then I was like, the coldest place in the world where I have an excuse for no one to really look at me apart from my nice blue eyes. And then I was like, I'll tell you what, somewhere like Alaska would be quite nice.
I thought you were lovely at this time of year, Antarctica. bundled up.
Yeah, exactly. Just like just a small
eyes.
Visor.
Like a South Park character.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's obviously a ridiculous answer. The truthful answer is no. I think as I get older, I'm not a death's door, but as I get older, I think I like kind of a bit less when I travel in terms of stuff to do. Like I like to just walk around and like soak stuff up, and I think something romantic for me would be more about the person I was with. If I could spend time with somebody and love listening to what they have to say and them love listening to what I have to say, and we have a mutual exchange of ideas and like shared values, and we could talk about them for hours walking like round a fjord or in a forest, that would make me a very, very happy man.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
We can arrange that for you.
Oh, James, you've transported me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, what, to the fjord?
You sure you can a fjord it?
Ah, very good.
I mean, actually, I'm not sure I can afford Iceland. Notoriously very expensive.
It's pretty pricey.
Bit rich
of
it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I think, yeah. But you know, I'm rich of Vic.
That's very good, Rachel.
Thank you. Yeah, but James, I love that answer. Like, definitely sharing and being listened to and sharing and bouncing off ideas in like an idyllic location is beautiful. But more, it's just the person.
Yeah. Mm. And also, the best bit, cheaper.
Yes. Cheaper. Yeah. Yeah. No, no fancy pairings of wines there. You don't need it.
No, you don't have to pay anyone a tip for a conversation. And that's a James promise.
And that's a good tip.
I will not promise the same thing. I accept tips.
James, oh my gosh, what an absolute pleasure it has been to have you on. Thank you so much for sharing your tales.
The romance and lack thereof.
No, I thoroughly enjoyed it. My cheeks are hurting from laughing.
I'm glad. Lovely to see you both.
We hope East London has more romantic encounters.
Yeah, I'm always just a few clicks away from romance here in East London.
Bye, James.
Goodbye.
Oh my god, lol. Oh my god, James. What a roller coaster. He did, though, break that bed in Paris, though. Amazing.
Yeah, two very different pictures painted of Paris on today's episode, I must say, but fitting as it is the world famous city of love and bed breaking.
Yeah, a lot goes on there. Anyway, Em, what would be your top advice for experiencing a travel romance?
Yes, well, obviously I have a wealth of experiences to pick from, a wealth of truly successful encounters. I would say don't expect too much from it. Just embrace the sort of fleeting nature of it. Just think, like, if this is the last time I ever see this person, yeah, it will make a great memory. Don't start planning your life together, for the love of God. Rachel, what about you?
Don't, for the love of God, go on a gap year with a half boyfriend. Just don't do it. What I mean by half boyfriend is someone that you were dating and you're still in contact with. Just either you're with them or you're not. Don't be in that weird grey space, is my one advice I would give.
Yeah, that's very useful for everyone, because I'm sure that's a very regular problem. No, I'm joking. I think you're right. Like, be clear with your boundaries is a good way forward. But yeah, anyway, if you enjoyed James's wholly unique storytelling, you can listen to a whole lot more of him on his own podcast, which is called Search Party, or you can follow him and his co-host on Instagram at Search Party Pod.
Yeah, it's a great podcast. I would highly recommend you go and check them out. They are a hilarious duo. And that brings us neatly to the end of this episode of the Gap Year Diaries Hostel World, your stories podcast. Thank you so much to our guests for their awesome stories. And of course, thank you to you too, our listeners, for doing what you do best, listening.
If you'd like to continue the party, please do seek us and Hostel World out on social media and say hey. We absolutely love hearing from you. Also, do feel free to give us a cheeky 5-star review.
And lastly, guys, we feel you won't have been able to help but notice that all these stories have one thing in common: hostels.
Hostels are, as we very much learn, the place to meet and make new friends when you travel. And to make this process even more dreamily straightforward, Hostelworld have launched a new app called the Solo System.
So the Solo System lets you chat to potential travel buddies and link up with them before you even arrive. If you're, say, planning a trip, Hostelworld's new app is the best place to start. Just imagine, Emily, for a sec, if it had existed when we went travelling.
It's probably best not to. Anyway, we're heading off now, but we'll catch you all next week for the next episode. Bye!
Bye.